Hello, I'm Juliette Littman.
And I am Joe House.
Welcome to Ringer Food, the Ringer's new hub for all your food-related content. You may have known this feed as House of Carbs, and don't worry, that's not totally going away. We will be launching two new shows on the feed, and the first is Food News with me and David Jacoby. You may remember us from our days at Grantland. Well, Jacoby and I are back to go over the news, sample snacks, share some personal tales of food news, some global tales of food news. Who knows what else is to come? And House, what are you going to be doing?
Oh, my taste buds, my hungry homies, my culinary comrades, we are back. We've done it. Here to tell you that we are reigniting House of Carbs with a whole new slate of tasty episodes throughout the year. We are starting with a football fracas, a gridiron gobble fest. We're doing NFL playoff potluck featuring taste tests of the iconic food item or items of every playoff city to determine which city reigns supreme.
Ringer Food is starting up this Wednesday, January 12th. That's so soon. So be sure to subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
And welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with reality TV casting news. That's big. January, Jupiter upsending. Yeah. And Betsy's meow.
Sometimes I really don't know how an episode is going to go. This one will be a mystery.
It
almost feels like first couple categories are just irrelevant and we're just trying to get to Jupiter ascending, but we'll take our time. We'll get there.
Yeah. It's a journey.
Yeah. Okay. So Tea Time is checking in with reality TV casting news. One is more speculative than the other, but I am really excited to talk about both. Amelia, go ahead.
Me too. I'm excited for this, your second part. let me just start out by saying, Celebrity Big Brother, I bet you guys did not even know. And by you guys, I mean everyone listening to this podcast, because who would know that Celebrity Big Brother, the American edition on CBS, is on its third season, coming up on its third season. You were probably like, I didn't even know there was a first season. Well, same. Yeah. But actually, I did know because like Dina Lohan was on it. But anyway, Celebrity Big Brother just announced they announced, but then someone online was like, I have the cast list. And it's a Celebrity Big Brother insider at Insider CBB. They were like, exclusive, meet all 14 celebrities entering the Celebrity Big Brother house. And I'm going to read you the list. And I'm not kidding. When I read this list, I was like, clear everything from my calendar. Not that there's anything on that calendar, but just for the sake of clearing the calendar, clear it, because this is a stacked cast. Okay. And I have also been, I've been monitoring because I don't watch Big Brother, the regular version, but I have seen seasons of the Celebrity Big Brother UK edition. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
I bet that's messy.
It's messy. It's so good. They take American quote unquote celebrities and bring them in sometimes. And again, I don't know how familiar everyone is with Big Brother, but it's just like they take a bunch of people, they quarantine them in a house and they make them do like games and then they vote each other off like one by one. And I think people who are watching the show can also like vote to save or whatever. And then one person ends up as the winner. And then that the celebrity version is just like you throw celebrities into a house and they just, you know, do their celebrity thing. And so, okay, let me start out. This cast.
So it's unconfirmed, right?
It is unconfirmed.
This is just like the rumor of the cast.
Right. Okay. Which is unfortunate. But I'm thinking that this CBB insider, this insider CBB is like, you know, probably, he probably knows, he or she, they, them, probably know. I mean, why would you report this?
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, are talking about this. Like, it's very much is believed by people. Yeah.
Okay, and I feel like people would who are being announced on this would probably be like, I no, I'm not on it, you know, if it were, you know, untrue. Okay, yeah. So the cast. Alexa Penavega, Spy Kid.
Incredible.
Right? Okay. Curtis Stone. He's an Australian celebrity chef. He had a show called The Take Home Chef. I don't know why I remember this, but it was from like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Erin Brady was the only person I didn't know and I had to look up, and she won Miss USA 2013.
Sure. Okay. They can't all be winners. It's
they fine. Can't all be True. Winners, but most of them are, honestly. Okay. Hope Hicks, who is the PR / executive political advisor to Trump. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
And she was also, if you recall, she was also the cover model for the Gossip Girl book series spinoff, The It Girl.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes. So look Layers. That up.
Layers.
Yeah, she definitely does. Jillian Michaels. Personal trainer and one of the two trainers on The Biggest Loser. Also, just legitimately terrifying.
If I was just going to say that. I would be terrified if I had to live in a house with her in any context.
She is so scary. And I bolded her because I was like, she's going to start shit.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Right? Jerry Trainer, who is iCarly's older brother. Which, why? Yes. I don't know. Lamar Odom, as we
big
know.
Big name.
Big name. NBA champion. Toe-sucking aficionado, Khloe Kardashian's ex-husband. I also bolded him because I feel like he's said some like really deeply introspective things lately. And I feel like we're going to get some deeper conversations with Lamar. We've got NeNe Leakes. She is an OG Atlanta housewife. She has successfully parlayed her time as a housewife onto multiple reality shows. She was on The Celebrity Apprentice. She also had like a role in one of Ryan Murphy's TV shows. She's so successful. She makes every show she's on. And she is a spitfire. She will start crap. And I'm really into that. Neo Singer.
Wow.
A little random.
I love this.
Yeah,
my question
why not?
Is, will he ever take his hat off? You know, because that's like the Neo. You know, no one's ever seen his head.
That's true. I think he's going to have to.
I think he'll have to.
Or is he going to shower with the hat on?
Only one way to find out.
Watch it. Todrick Hall, who is Taylor Swift's best friend. And he also is a YouTuber.
Taylor Swift's best friend, according to Todrick Hall.
That's true. That's true. Oh, God.
He's so messy, too.
Wow. Incredibly messy. He loves defending Taylor to people. Can't wait for that. I don't know if you've ever seen him on RuPaul's Drag Race, but he can be kind of rude on that show, which honestly I'm into. So
an inspired choice, if we're being real.
No, really though.
Yeah.
The next choice they put down, I don't know how they landed her. It's Tiffany New York Pollard, who is from Flavor of Love. I love New York. New York goes to work. Also the original Celebrity Big Brother UK edition. Well, not the original, but like one of the iterations of that show. If you don't know her time on CBB UK, you need to look up David Is Dead. Truly the best thing David Bowie has ever given us is...
Oh, you just tweeted this the other day.
Yeah, I don't like God. David Bowie, so I'm just like, you know what? Thank you for that, at least. Okay. So please, YouTube, David is dead. Okay. And we have Sha'Carri Richardson. She right. should have been an Olympian at the 2021 Tokyo Games. Mm-hmm. She'll be there, which I'm excited. She deserves some screen time. She should yeah. have gotten it in the summer, but she didn't. Okay.
Little sorry. Bit of a fall from grace for her though, because then she had like some race and everyone was like so excited about it. And then she came in like absolute dead last. And people were like, right. okay, well.
Oh my God. I so totally, wow.
She needs to time. Redeem herself a little bit.
I'm into that. Will she start like races in that? Will she like challenge people to like short
the athletic?
Races?
Yeah. The athletic competitions.
I maybe like Lamar. Except she's he in probably good shape. Has bad knees. Yeah. Shangela, who is a drag queen, has been on several seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, was also in A Star Is Born. Really very, very funny and excited for her to just start crap too, because she can do that. Amazing.
Yes.
And then finally, kind of surprising, but also like, what is he doing? Tyler Cameron from The Bachelorette. He had a moment a few summers ago. He dated Gigi Hadid. He too is here. So this household, I'm already like fantasizing about the fights that are going to break out. And I'm really excited. So
this is there even a, sorry, go ahead, Liz.
Oh yeah. We both have questions because obviously we don't understand a lot of this. Is there one winner at the end, Amelia? Mm-hmm. Is there, okay. And then is there a cash yes. prize or some kind of prize that they're like striving for?
I mean, there is, but I don't know if they'll donate it to charity. Usually with celebrities, okay, they do donate to charity. I would hope so.
So second question, or maybe third question is, let's say this is confirmed, this group of people, like let's say this is mm-hmm. it. Who do you think is going to fare the best in this group? Unless Kate, you have some other clarifying question you want to get to first.
No, go for it.
Okay.
Personally, I think it's going to be Tiffany New York Pollard because she's already been on the show. And according to Wikipedia, throughout her time on Celebrity Big Brother UK, she was really popular with the British public who had probably not really been acquainted with her before. And she achieved the most votes to save her over her fellow wow. contestants on at least one occasion. I think there's more occasions. But and then she made it to the final and came in fourth place, and she ranked higher than any other American female who had been on the show before. So
wow.
I think
wow. right. I like
she probably has a good chance. I think Nene, Shangela, and Jillian also don't take shit. And I think right. that they are all forces to be reckoned with. So I would say any of those four are like, I mean, that's a strong four. That's a strong
that that's
four.
A terrifying, terrifying group of people.
Right.
I do have to say, if this turns out to be fake, like salute to like whoever's brain came up with this.
Yes.
Because
true.
It is, mm-hmm. it's so believable and yet so perfect. Like it's not too good as to be like, this can't be real.
Right.
It's the perfect mix of like people we forgot about.
Right.
Reality TV stars, like fringe celebrities. You know what right. I mean? It's just inspired. Right. It's inspired.
Hire them as like a casting yeah. director, truly.
Genuinely. So I hope it's real. Honestly, I think it probably is. I don't know how anyone could come up with this just like as a rumor.
Right.
I look forward to seeing how it turns out.
Same.
Genuinely, as it someone who hates reality TV, I'm yeah. invested.
And the person that stuck out to me because I've noticed how many times he has turned down other like reality TV appearances is, and mm-hmm. the person I obviously, the franchise I followed, I'm not a Real Housewives person, is obviously Tyler Cameron.
Right.
And if this is confirmed, my thought was, oh my God, I'm so shocked he said yes to this reality TV yeah. appearance. And then later that day, I see a Deadline article about a new reality TV show that he is confirmed to appear in. Should we talk about that for a second
yes.
before moving on?
Yes.
Okay. So Tyler Cameron is in this new Fox celebrity dance competition, The Real Dirty Dancing. Okay. Here's the little description. It's featuring celebrities reliving the classic film's most memorable dance moments in hopes of becoming champions and the next Baby and Johnny. Okay. So here's this cast list, and this is confirmed that this is Rich and I think kind of Tea Time core, if I do say
yeah,
so.
Yeah, totally.
First of all, this woman gets such an introduction, I can't believe it. So we have entrepreneur, philanthropist, author, and WWE Hall of Fame inductee, Brie Bella, who you guys know I love.
That's your girl. That's your girl, Liz.
Haven't talked about it. That's a deep cut for those listeners.
She's got philanthropist,
entrepreneur, and author before anything else.
Oh my Good. You know what? Whoever's doing PR.
I know.
Doing a good job.
Okay. Then we have actor / singer songwriter Corbin Blue.
Yeah.
Our man.
Oh my God.
He's due for a comeback.
Huge. He is. And then we've got Tyler Cameron. Then we have the first female Iron Chef, Kat Cora. Backstreet Boy, Howie Duro. Future NFL Hall of Fame tight end Antonio Gates. So it starts to veer because obviously not known that well. Then we have comedian and the real host Lonnie Love. Okay.
Yes. So yes, Lonnie Love. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. We will be seeing these people try to be the next Johnny and Baby. And I think like do everything, like even the big pickup.
Oh, yeah.
And
Tyler Cameron can do that.
He right? can or cannot?
He can.
Absolutely.
That seems like something that he can do.
Yes, yeah. He can. No, he can. Yeah. I've seen him do it, actually.
Did we see him dance on The Bachelor ever?
Yes. I can't remember. I, for some reason, can remember the intro, because I think I made jokes about it, but the intro to his package when we first meet him, he's like working out and like building homes and also dancing.
Yes, it's coming back to me now.
Yes.
He can dance.
He can. Wow. Also, this is hosted by Twitch.
Oh, yeah. I didn't care. Who the hell is that? I just saw
that.
I was like, okay.
First of all, he was in Magic Mike XXL.
He was the guy.
Yeah, he did the mirror dance with Channing.
How dare you forget?
A little January Easter egg. And then he's also the DJ on Ellen, which makes me think that he's looking for other employment.
Oh, smart. Smart move by him. Smart move by him.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I have a couple of questions because... So is it okay? So I guess we're just like, it's okay that some of these people have like dancing skills.
Like, this is what always gets me on like Dancing with the Stars too.
Right?
Like, where do we draw the line?
Or, you know, the physicality, which Emily talked a lot about with Dancing on the Stars, this future NFL Hall of Fame tight end Antonio Gates, he must be 1,000 times stronger than some of these other competitors. No offense to Tyler Cameron, but
it's true.
So at least for the lift, he'll be helpful. I do love that movie. I can't remember like how much lifting and like muscle work there is, but we'll see.
There's like a decent amount, probably. But I mean, I am in fear for world-renowned chef, author, restaurateur, and the first female Iron Chef Kat Cora. That's who I'm a little afraid for. Yeah. I'm excited to see how
someone has to leave first.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
There's always somebody.
You're right. Because I love this movie, and I don't know that I want to see them try to be Patrick Swayze when no one can be Patrick Swayze. But
yeah, it's a doomed quest in many ways.
But. I'm also like, the Brie Bella, I just feel like, you know, she could substitute Nikki in there if she wanted.
Oh, sure.
Nikki wanted? I know. I'm curious like how she got this gig. Maybe they're right? the same things. Maybe not. Who knows? But
who knows?
Confirmed. Wow. Tyler Cameron will be doing that just in case he doesn't do Celebrity Big Brother. If he does both, very busy.
Very busy.
And I also think that I had heard it was announced and they were like, Tyler Cameron, like his name was in the ether. I thought he was going to host it for some reason.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that seems kind of right-ish. Like something he would do rather than like, because there's a difference in being the contestant and being the host of the show.
Right.
And like, a different skill set.
Also, so surprised that he like chose this and not like Dancing with the Star or some other. But anyway, we will see, Amelia. Maybe we should watch it.
I think we're going to have to watch it because I'm so intrigued now.
Yeah,
wow. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Excited.
Okay. Let's keep moving. This next category is going to be real short. It is not worth it to you this week in social media and relationship news, Kate.
Just a couple little social media notes for you to run through. First of all, if you've been on the internet in recent months, if you're anywhere on the fringe of like film Twitter, you've probably seen people making jokes about Nicole Kidman's AMC ad, which you've seen if you've been in an AMC theater in the last several months, maybe like 6 months, where Nicole Kidman does this ad for AMC. It plays before any of the AMC movies where she is wearing this pinstripe suit and she walks into this empty AMC theater as if it's a church. and she walks in and just does this monologue about the importance of the theater. And, she sits down in the front row and she has all these like heartfelt lines about the importance of going to the theater. Obviously, they're trying to get you back in, not just watching Netflix at home.
Right.
So it just is very earnest and very over the top. And people just immediately started making fun of it because we had to watch it before all of these movies. And there's a specific line that people really latched onto and made into a meme where she's sitting in the front row. There's this spotlight on her. And she goes, heartbreak, somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this. And people are like, what does that mean, Nicole Kidman? and so, you know, it's been several months. People have made it into t-shirts. People, it like briefly got cut out of AMC ads. They like shortened it and people were like, put it back. There was like this whole thing about this line in the AMC ad. And so Nicole Kidman did an interview with The Playlist and they talked to her about the memification of this ad. Mm. And it just is so Nicole Kidman that I just have to just read to you this excerpt.
Please.
So she's talking about it. They're talking to her publicist. She's like, you know, the interviewer is like, this happened. And the publicist is like, oh, it's real. Like people printed it out. They handed it out in a theater so they could read it with you before the movie. And she's like, what? So this whole thing is like telling her about this meme. And the interviewer goes, in fact, people were very upset because it was originally a minute long and then they shortened it down to 30 seconds and they cut the iconic line out. Fans were going to see Spider-Man and they wanted to see it beforehand and they were upset the line was missing. So Nicole Kidman, in her Nicole Kidman voice, you can hear her say this. She goes, but it's a great line, right? So the interviewer goes, yes. It's so true. How true is it though? Okay. It is. I mean, talk about not feeling alone, sitting in the cinema with a broken heart and then watching something that breaks your heart again. And you go, I'm not alone. Please, this must not go away. We have to have cinema. So she like somehow in her mind was like, of course people love that line because it resonates with them and they understand it and they feel that heartbreak, you know, does feel good in a place like this. I was like, Nicole, no.
How very Gal Gadot imagine just of her.
Hilarious. I was like, Nicole Kidman, like, just never change. I am just imagining them, the interviewer and the publicist, like sitting there locking eyes being like, yeah. Like, yeah, that's why people love it. They're not making fun of it. No.
So I love how out of touch some celebrities are. Oh,
peak
God.
Nicole Kidman. I was like, oh my God, incredible. So that happened this week. I just love her. I think she's so weird and fun. She's just like prestige Gwyneth Paltrow. And I find her very fun. And then in other news, this was assigned to me because I'm still entertained by Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. I'm sorry. I will let you know again when my annoyance, you know, overplays my entertainment and I will be out on them. However, as long as they continue giving us just like chaos content, I'm entertained. I'm sorry. They're giving us something to talk about. And this week it was all over Twitter because supposedly Machine Gun Kelly was like, the wedding ring that I gave her is actually thorns. So if she tries to take it off, it hurts. Love is pain. So people were like, he put thorns inside her wedding ring? Like what? So, however, this is a classic case of not reading the article and just talking about stuff that isn't true. So, however, the wedding ring is actually two rings, which to me is like a little tacky. It like connects with a magnet. So the one birthstone is one ring. Yes. And the other birthstone is like, and they connect to the magnets. They're actually two separate connecting rings. So I was like, I don't love that. Something about that to me.
Actually, you're so right. And I'm reading this. This ring is like upwards of like $500,000. And there's not a more sophisticated way to tie these two rings together.
Okay. Also, the fact that they're doing so much promo for this guy and his ring means that like he gave it to them for free for promo, which is tacky also. Mm. So, or at least like, you know, they did some sort of partnership with this guy because this whole article is just promo for this man and his jewelry. His name is Steven Webster, in case you're interested in a magnet ring. But there are these pictures of the ring and there aren't thorns inside. They just look like thorns. So I believe Machine Gun Kelly, whose words I think we always take a little bit too literally, was just like making a joke, being like, oh, it looks like thorns so that it hurts when she takes it off. Like love is pain. Like this is not real. They just look like thorns. Maybe that was what they were supposed to represent. But just a PSA for the people, there are not thorns inside this wedding ring. She can take it off. She can put it on. It has magnets. But there are no thorns to like scrape her hand.
Good.
When she takes it on. Thank you for clarifying
that. Yeah.
Yes. However, it would have been pretty entertaining if they did do that. I think they're so weird. And I'm still really entertained.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. But again, this ring is very ugly.
All right. We'll give you another couple weeks. We'll check in.
So listen, it'll happen eventually. And I will let you know when I get there. But I'm not quite there yet.
No doubt. Okay. It's happening.
That's fine.
Oh, goodness.
Next thing, Amelia.
This is, you know what? I've been looking at this for so long. And it's just like, dark and sad. But I totally support however Brittany wants to respond to Jamie Lynn. I'm sorry. I just don't like her.
You don't? You're out on Jamie Lynn?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Brittany has come back on Twitter with the notes app. And she's sprinkling in emojis. And, you know, she's saying, like, Jamie Lynn, why are you freaking lying here? Okay. And she was, I guess Jamie Lynn was like, okay, I just want to let you know that this book isn't about you. And then someone found a leak of the book and they searched for Brittany's name. And literally, there's a Brittany on every single page. And they said it to Mariah Carey's Obsessed and it was really funny. And that was LOL. But anyway, Jamie Lynn is doing, I guess, the rounds to whoever will have her. And one of those media outlets is the podcast Call Her Daddy. And they released, I don't know, who sent it? Liz, did you send this? Did Kaya send this? Someone sent this to our little Tea Time Instagram DMs. And it was like Alex Cooper of Call Her Daddy. And she was out here being like, okay, we need to see the text messages from Brittany to, you know, show that she's lying. And then Jamie Lynn's like, I have them. And she's like pulling. And then it's very like Zero Dark 30. Like, I don't like, what is this overproduction?
Anyway, yeah, they thought they did something with it.
They really did. And again, it's just like, why are you giving this woman a platform? But anyway, so she's trying. And I guess I didn't listen to the interview, but I read notes from someone else's takeaways and they're like nothing, like literally nothing happens. It was only the first, because I guess they're releasing it in two parts. I don't know when the second one is coming out, but nothing. I mean, it's just a rehashing of everything. Right. But we did get Brittany to respond on Instagram. And if you go over to her Instagram, I would highly suggest she's like posted and then deleted it several times, you know, because she needs to get all her feelings out and she may sure. change, which is totally normal and fine. But anyway, I just love that my favorite part of all of this, again, she's like, Jamie Lynn, you need to stop. And also, I love you, but you are a horrible person and et cetera, which I think a lot of people are like, this is messy, like take it offline. But the thing is like, you know what? This woman has been literally trapped by her family, including Jamie Lynn, for 13 years. She can say and do whatever the hell she wants. She has a lot of feelings. Let her be heard. That was the whole point of Free Britney. So let her speak in any capacity she wants. Oh my God, I just moved a stapler. I have very strong feelings about this. But my favorite part of all of this, and again, you can go over to her Instagram and read it because I'm not going to read it. But she calls Alex Cooper that lady, that interview lady, I think it was, which I love. She's just like, I don't care about addressing you by your real name. Like, who freaking cares? Like, that interview lady. So I love that.
I did. Honestly, I have not seen. I mean, I'm sure there are people who are like, you know, stop doing this. I saw a lot of support for this on Twitter.
Oh,
people
good,
were like,
I'm glad.
The Southern came out because she's like talking about like, you know, I wish mom had slapped you. Like,
yes!
Like all this stuff. And yeah, you're right. Like, she's finally has a chance to be honest. Like, we wanted her to be able to say what she wanted to say and speak her mind. And like, that's what she's doing. So,
She has every right to defend herself from someone who has been sucking off the proverbial teat for 20 years. So let her do whatever.
Jamie Lynn can run her mouth and Brittany's just supposed to stay silent again? That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. Thank you. Yep. And also, P.S., Rachel Zegler, we saw you do the dramatic reading of Brittany's app, okay? You are a bad person, too. That is...
Log off. Just log off, Rachel.
That's why, you know, theater kids, calm down, please. Thank you.
I have absolutely no idea how I transitioned to the last piece of news in this category, which
is good.
Which was deleted, but gonna be quick. Just for those fans of Tall Girl on Netflix, good news, the sequel is coming really soon on February 11th. I swore that we did this for Cringe Mode. It turns out we hadn't. I have already seen it once. We could do the second one. The first one essentially centers around a very tall girl.
The first one again?
Not entirely. Okay. A very tall girl, very basically struggling with being tall. As a tall girl, I understood, but I still didn't like the movie. But anyway, the second one is essentially she has a newfound confidence, which is great. And she's no longer like worried about being a tall girl. But she's facing other pressures at school, apparently, and her insecurities return in some way. That's all the info I got. But it's coming. And
it looks cute.
I wish that they'd given it some like Fast and Furious title where it's like tall girl too, like too, too tall, tall to function, or like
Oh yeah,
be like, tall girl too, like growth spurt, you know?
Shit, that would have been so much better.
They should really lean in.
They should do the school thing where you go too tall to function for life.
Right.
Perfect. Thank
you. Yeah. I would rather take a To All the Boys just kind of like 5 years later or something like that. would rather Netflix turn that out, but we'll see. Sabrina Carpenter's in it as like the hot older sister.
Again?
So that's
I would have thought she'd moved on. Maybe she's under that like Jacob Elordi like kissing booth contract where she just can't be free.
Also, who could turn down a Netflix check? Not I. I would do it. True. I would do that 10 tall girls.
That is true.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Okay, let's get to cringe mode. We've lasted long enough. In the spirit of January, our next movie is Jupiter Ascending. And I'm so grateful to Kate who can do the plot because I have literally zero clue what the
happened. Okay, I usually just absolutely wing these. Like, this is not anything that I ever think about before I'm prompted to do them on the podcast. Mm. However, 5 minutes before I logged on today to do this recording, I remembered I was going to have to do this. And I was like, fuck, I can't. I cannot just wing it. I don't know what happened. So I had to go to Wikipedia. I had to take the coward's way out. And I wrote some things down. It's going to be very stream of consciousness. I'm still going to wing it. But I did reread the plot on Wikipedia because I couldn't do it.
Now, how could you? How could anyone?
So, okay. So there's this like royal alien family, including Eddie Redmayne. And the main plot is that like they rule the galaxy and they've created all these planets as like farms for humans because they have to kill humans to create like this serum that keeps them young forever. Okay. And like Earth is just like one of those planets, but we don't know.
This is already enlightening. Okay.
Yes. So that's like the main conflict is like they rule the planets. Earth is one of those planets. They're going to harvest it for this serum that keeps them young. So Mila Kunis, who lives on Earth, cleaning toilets, it turns out that she is the reincarnation of the mom of this royal alien family. Okay. I don't know how. It was probably explained at some point, but I didn't understand it. So she gets like attacked by these gross little aliens. and she is saved by Channing Tatum, who is like this warrior guy who is like part dog, part human. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just go with it.
No.
So yeah. She goes on like this whole weird journey through all these planets. It turns out she can like control bees. Everyone calls her Your Majesty, which she's like fine with after like 2 minutes. Like it's just,
right.
She doesn't seem to have any issue with this, but I'm like, okay. And she can control bees for some reason. And she basically goes from like alien princess, to alien prince, to alien prince. And she keeps trusting these people, which I have issues with, but we will talk about it. And basically they're like, you're our dead mom. We're not evil. Probably. We swear. Mm-hmm. Please help us destroy Earth and stay young forever. And basically, she's like, no, eventually she's like, actually, I'm going to save Earth with the help of part dog Channing Tatum. And mm-hmm. she basically saves it. She fights Eddie Redmayne. There's like a whole thing. There's a lot of other stuff that happens. It's really confusing. But then she goes home as like the secret owner of the Earth and lives happily ever after with Channing Tatum, who has wings now. So that's
good. That was good.
And her name is Jupiter. So that's part of it.
Right.
Okay.
Incredibly confusing movie.
Let's dive headfirst into the highlights.
I do have to say someone pasted a Google result. Was this Amelia?
No, this was me.
No. Can you please talk about this real quick? Yeah.
I Googled Jupiter ascending to get a cast list. And the next thing was, and the people also ask, why is Jupiter ascending so bad? I did not prompt that in any way. I just Googled the movie.
Yeah.
And that's the second.
It's the question we'll try to answer, you could say, for the next 20 minutes.
Indeed. Okay. Yeah. We'll investigate. But first the highlights, Amelia.
I would say I was like watching this, but also, well, at first I watched it trying to do other work at the same time.
And impossible.
I was like, I tried this too. And I couldn't do it. And yeah. While the first time when I tried watching, I heard this voice and I was like, oh, who is this like deep commanding voice? I looked, it was Channing Tatum. He's showcasing an entirely different range here, at least within the first 10 minutes. He's doing a new accent and voice, which just shows you he's committed, and I love that. I yes. also would like to point out, what the fuck is Eddie Redmayne trying to do with his voice here?
I have so much to say about Eddie Redmayne. I could go for days.
I mean,
we can get to that later.
I
don't know if it's a highlight.
I will say, I mean, the thing is, so with his voice, he was like, hello. And he was...
I was hoping you were doing it.
That's so
accurate. I expected in the first 2 minutes of the category, but I was hoping.
Well, okay.
Good.
And he does it in a way that's just like creepy. And I think that was the intended kind of effect for all of us. So I appreciate that. I think he was really committed. He was like, I want an Oscar for this role. And you know what? He didn't quite get it. But the point is that he tried. So.
He did try. He really committed. Yeah. Also on Channing, real quick, since we are in January, I read that he had to have something in his jaw. Like he had to have something in his mouth to make his jaw look different so that he looked like part dog.
Part dog.
And so that also affected his speaking.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's hard to tell in the movie, but apparently he had some sort of thing in his mouth.
He looks like kind of exactly the same, but
he does. Yeah, I don't know if it was worth it, but he does. I do like, you know, the range that he is portraying here.
Exactly.
To be honest, Amelia, I also tried working while doing it, and then I missed the part where Channing Tatum was also a dog, and I saw in the outline, I was like, what the fuck? And I had to rewind and revisit it because I would have completely missed it. Also had to do a double take, or maybe triple quadruple take. Vanessa Kirby is in this movie as like the tan random roommate friend of Vanessa Kirby.
Of Mila?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, of Mila Kunis. And it's so fleeting. She's so irrelevant. She comes and goes. And I was just like, what the hell is happening? I've only seen her in The Crown, so obviously she couldn't place them two together.
This is the most humiliating thing I've ever seen, actually. I love Vanessa Kirby. I think she'll probably have the best career out of anyone in this movie other than maybe like Sean Bean. And maybe Channing Tatum, obviously. But she's in this movie for like 5 minutes. Not even five, like 3 minutes. She wears a lingerie set the entire time. Mm-hmm. And she literally gets attacked by little and like grossly, like almost like probed by like these gross little aliens.
Yes.
Who try to steal her in her underwear.
This is bad.
This is, if I was her, I would like spend my entire career trying to like wipe this movie from the internet.
Right.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Really tough.
Crazy. Also, this actually sold me. So this is a true highlight.
anything Sean Bean says, high stakes. I'm like, the netherworld, yes, I believe it. Oh, the spirits that be, I believe it. I'm a big Lord of the Rings person and obviously big Game of Thrones person. So I'm just sold on his grizzled voice trying to save the powers that be, whatever.
Totally. He sits down with Mila Kunis and has to deliver all this exposition and like explaining about the world. And I'm like, if anyone else was doing this, like I would check out so hard.
Yes.
But the way she does it, I'm like, damn. Like,
so true.
So true.
I just can't believe this movie was 2015. He did Game of Thrones 2011. So like he did that and then we'll talk about the career arc of these people later, but I was just shocked how many years later, I thought this was kind of pre-Game of Thrones. I was like, he didn't know any better. But this wasn't. This was
after. To be fair, he gets killed off after one season of Game of Thrones. So he probably needed like some
crucial character, but whatever. Yeah, okay, so next highlight.
Listen, my highlight overall is I have a real soft spot for the Wachowskis. Okay. Mm. They made The Matrix. They made Sense8, which is a Netflix TV show that I absolutely love. Oh. And listen, they are never boring. They always come out with these like wacky fantasy stories. They're always really inclusive, like diversity, like a lot of queer characters. Like they just are great. Mm-hmm. And half the time, they're great half the time. And the other half, like they go for it, you know?
And that's what counts. Honestly, with all the remakes, not that I don't love a good remake or a reboot, but these people have actual ideas. Thank you for having actual ideas. And I think they're genius. I really do. I fucking love The Matrix. So,
it's great. And Lana Wachowski made Sense8. And this also ties into my next highlight, which is they have real loyalty to like certain actors, especially like smaller actors. And like you can trace actors through like all of their movies or all of their shows. And like I recently watched the fourth Matrix movie and there were like 8 Sense8 actors in that movie. Like I would like in small parts, but like they're just getting them work because they like them and they think talented and they want to work with them. So for example, in this movie, Duna Bay is in this, who's also in Sense8 and Cloud Atlas. And Tuppence Middleton, who's also in Sense8. So I was it's just like a fun little Where's Waldo to be like, oh, like one of the Wachowski's favorites. Like their little like family of actors that they support and like work into their stuff all the time. And then also related to this, my last highlight is at least there are like colors and costumes and like fun stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like we have all these like gritty, dark fantasy, like space movies where it's like blood and like you can't see what's on the screen. And I'm like, you know what? At least their aliens are fun and are wearing fun clothes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least like their space like looks fun and funky. And it's over the top and it's not realistic and it's very silly at times. But it's better than the alternative, if you ask me.
Yeah, I buy into that. All right. So next, the lowlights.
Million. We had to really cherry pick here. We could have really chosen a lot of things.
Oh, I'm sorry, but maybe I'm just dumb, but this movie is hard to follow.
Impossible.
Insane. I mean, I tried to do work at the same time and I was like, I can't do it. And then when I actually did focus on the movie, I was like, I need to rewind.
Yeah, that
times.
Wasn't the answer. Right. I know. I actually didn't even realize, like Kate explaining the plot from Wikipedia, I should have done that. But I was like, oh, that's why that happens. I had no idea. Yeah.
Not a lot of explaining. For the amount of exposition and like explaining that they take time to do in this movie, it just doesn't help. Which like you gotta either like do a lot of explaining and then we get it and it's boring, but we get it, or like just skip it and have it be confusing, but like skip all of the sort of world building research. But somehow they did both. So it was like boring and also confusing at times.
It takes them so long to do anything, which is also my problem. I thought I clicked the wrong movie. I didn't see Channing Tatum for so long. I was like, I thought he
it's
was
like five minutes.
Well, that's too long. It feels like Mila Kunis was doing all types of things. And I was like,
that's true.
Is this?
It's probably more like 15. You're right.
Get him in there right off the bat. Just stop. There's just so much talking. Yeah.
Literally just not enough Channing actually in this movie.
Yeah.
I would say is a general low light for January. It just hinges a lot on Mila and she's just not giving us much. Yeah. So my low light is, first of all, we talked about Channing Tatum's jaw. Mm-hmm. He's pulling off the ears. He has like funky pointy ears. Yeah. It's fine. If we had stopped at the ears, I would have been like, okay, I'm in. Like, it's fine. He's shirtless a lot and that's good. Mm-hmm. However, he is like very ginger and has like this ginger goatee. Right. And I'm like, who decided that? Like who, like, no shade to gingers. It's fine. But like the specific orange shade that his hair and beard are is just not doing them any favors. And also, yeah. I guess he's like half albino, which is like not a necessary plot point either. But then like for a couple scenes, he's blonde. Like he very clearly, the color of his hair changes in the film.
It's so weird. It's never explained.
It like actively gets lighter for part of this movie. And then I think at the end it's dark again, which I'm like, is it just the props or the makeup team just dropped the ball? Did we do reshoots? Was that part of it?
Was it said that he was half albino?
Yeah, it was.
Really?
It was part of Sean Bean's exposition.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wait, I totally missed that.
Because I was like, why is he ginger? And then when they're talking about, because he was like the runt of his litter.
Oh, God.
And
like, he would have been like,
yeah. So like, they didn't think he was going to amount to anything because he was like half albino, runt of his litter. And then he like became this like, this like very powerful warrior. Okay. Anyway, so right. I just was like, I don't know what's happening with this hair. I'm confused and I don't like it. But he looks good, like mostly.
I'm finding out new things days after watching.
Yes.
I would also say I know that this movie is very high budget, but I mean, damn, there are several parts that seem extremely low budget.
Yeah.
Like movies you find on the Sci-Fi Channel. Like some of the dialogue, I was like, what? Overacting was a lot. And honestly, I really like Mila Kunis, but I do think she was kind of miscast in this role.
Yes,
and I agree. Totally, and I really like her too.
Right?
I stand by it. Yeah.
And I do think her and Channing have like decent better than him and Jenna Dewan, but I still was just like, this is a weird choice. Some of the props were strange. There's like using dental tools when they were like threatening her family. And I was like, what?
Also, the aliens with that budget.
Oh my God.
I wanted something different.
They're creepy.
They're so skinny and they got big heads and tiny bodies, but their limbs are so long and they can crawl on walls. They can basically do anything. They're like a spirit. And they are the classic alien head where it's like big dome, little tiny jaw goes in, but so creepy. They're so fleshy and weird. Ugh. And I hated them.
Yeah. I hated them too. Did the thing where like their body can go backwards with their heads going forward.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, no.
Goes any way they want.
No.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I hated that a lot.
And they're always crawling on the walls and I hate that. But
Yes. Yeah. Liz, you have one more thing, right?
Oh, yes. Okay. Here's another thing with this fucking budget. Choose one side. You cannot put aliens and dinosaurs in the same alien world. And I know you might not think it's a dinosaur. It's a dinosaur. It was like a flying stegosaurus situation. And he was also there next to and working with the alien population. And I was like, in my brain, these are two different universes. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't.
I agree. Also, though, to be fair, I believe during Sean Bean's very long monologue, he also mentioned that they killed the dinosaurs, the alien royal family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think that was related to Mr. Stegosaurus.
Maybe they saved one, but I don't know.
Just one of those, fun little tidbits.
It also just added to the like frivolous, just like, oh my God, I can't take this movie. Was like watching.
Yeah. Like, why?
This.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree. Okay, Amelia already talked about the dental tools. Any last notes on the dental tools?
If you're going to threaten her family, you're going to use like laser beams or something. But these were like legitimate dental tools.
Right.
And I was like,
they were like, we're
going to
replace her crown. Yeah.
Exactly.
They don't want that. Listen, okay. There are just a couple plot points, big picture plot points that I just can't deal with. First of all, she keeps trusting these fucking evil siblings, one after the other, all of them. In a row. First, it's like Tuppence Middleton, who is in like really weird old makeup. And I was like, why would they choose a young actress and then put her in old makeup? But it's because she gets young later because of the youth serum. So that eventually made sense. Mm-hmm. This one, she trusts her. And then it's like, oh, she's evil. So then she goes to the next brother. And the next brother's like, oh, I want to save Earth and marry you. And she's like, this seems legit. Like, sure. You seem normal. And then, actually, he's evil. And he wanted to like fucking take her ownership of Earth. So then she goes to Eddie Redmayne, who just actively evil. Like you look at him and you're like, this man is evil. And then she's like, oh, this is probably fine. Like, I guess I'll trust you after both of your siblings turned out to be evil. I'm like, we can't keep doing this. Like, come on, Mila, get it together.
Truly.
And then the bee thing is so dumb. I don't know why she can control bees. God. I was like, why bees? It's because like they recognize royalty. I'm like, okay.
I thought they were flies. And I was like, are they like, and they're like in the somewhere. I don't know. It really didn't work. It was so bad.
So bad. Personally, I thought Mila and Channing had very little chemistry, but I guess maybe better than Jenna.
I think they have good friendship chemistry, but not maybe romantic. That's true.
Good banter. They're good both banter. Like decent comedic actors. Again, like make this funnier and like I'm a little bit more in.
Yes.
But yeah, this is just a bad movie. Like I'm sorry, Wachowskis. You can't win them all. And this was a miss.
Yeah.
But
we still stand. Yeah.
We do stand.
All right, let's do what's aged the best and the worst, Amelia.
I thought space looked really beautiful and their depiction of it was very pretty. So I was like, oh, that's nice.
I agree. Their space seems fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought at first, I was like, oh my God, this movie is such a bomb. But like everyone's career rebounded after this. All these people did other things. Turns out not really. Channing, this was after 21 and 22 Jump Street. Didn't think that.
Wow.
Mila, this was 5 years after Black Swan. Like she was so at the height of like her dramatic career. But after this movie, she's done basically the bad moms. And like, that's perhaps it. Obviously, Vanessa Kirby had The Crown come after it. But I actually am wrong about this. Like, not a huge swing back. I mean, obviously, all these people are super famous. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But this was more recent than I really thought.
Me too. I thought this movie was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was like 6 years ago. Or almost seven. Agreed. But even then, I'm like, damn, we've been making fun of this movie for a long time.
So I disagree, and I know you have thoughts on this. I have never heard of this movie, never seen a single frame of this movie.
Wow.
This didn't exist in my brain and my consciousness. I thought this movie was like wiped from Earth, but you're saying it like lives online, whatever online you are in.
I guess I guess just general population, like Liz, like normal humans who don't live online, which I envy you, and I say that with affection. I guess for those people, it like died in the night, like without a whisper. But it definitely is a little bit infamous, I would say, in the Twitterverse and in the memeverse. So I guess my best slash worst, age the best slash worst, is Eddie Redmayne's performance, which I just need to talk about for a minute. Like Amelia said, he committed. Listen, he committed. And he was like, I'm going to do something with this. It's in the vein of like Jake Gyllenhaal in like Okja or Jared Leto in House of Gucci, where like these like Oscar winning actors were like, I'm going to have a little fun. Like, I'm just going to go for it. Mm. And I'm going to do 50% more than anyone else in this cast because like I'm special and I'm a real actor. Mm. And Eddie Redmayne made some choices in this movie. He made the choice of the voice. Also, some of his line readings are just fascinating. And this was like, I mean, I'm going to talk about this because I chose an MVP, but he's my MVP. However, this was 2 weeks before he won his Oscar that this came out.
Wow.
That's insane.
And like, this was like Eddie Redmayne, like heyday era, like leading man, Eddie Redmayne. And this movie came out and I think people were like, what the fuck? Like there are compilations of his scenes on YouTube. One of them is called Redmayne Ascending. They have hundreds of thousands of views. And some of the comments on this, I just had me rolling. One of them, Theory of Everything is how you win an Oscar, but Jupiter Ascending is how you become unforgettable.
So true.
To be honest, Eddie was totally on the right track. Somebody had to do something to liven up this movie, which it's true. When he comes in like the last half hour, he only gets a little bit, like in the first hour and a half. He comes in the last half hour, I'm like, I am entertained suddenly. And then someone else goes, he underacts and overacts in the same performance. Bravo.
He's giving like big Emperor Palpatine vibes. Yes. Like just like the whole, I'd be like, can you do it again? It's like the husky wrath.
Yeah. Also like he does a lot of screaming for no reason where he's like, oh, I create life.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and I destroy it. And I'm like, there are just certain, if you look up Eddie Redmayne Jupiter Ascending on Twitter, like people are still tweeting about it. There are videos of him screaming or yelling or, you know, he's like, how dare you? Or whatever. People are like, I don't. Okay.
I know he did it, but my gut is telling me he got a lip flip for this because there's so
what is happening? And I know he has his mouth is like funky, not in a bad way necessarily. I think it's makeup. Like, I think they gave him like the Kylie Jenner overlined lips.
Maybe.
And so it like really made him look crazy. But yeah, something's going on with his mouth also in this.
They just like really, I don't know if they like They put, there was a budget going into those lips.
There's something there. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Liz, go ahead.
I put this in real quick late at night last night as I was trying to finish this movie. Twice, Mila Kunis disarms Eddie Redmayne by just a swift punch in the... And it actually takes him out both times.
It's a classic.
I was like, that is how you disarm any stupid man. Is just works every time. So.
It does work every time.
Anyway,
I MVP? Guess we'll just, yeah, I'm the only one who chose an MVP. I chose Eddie Redmayne for going just full camp meme fuel. I just think it's hilarious that this came out 2 weeks before he won his Oscar. It's called Range. Look it up.
Yeah.
This has probably aged better than his Oscar for The Danish Girl, which has not aged well. But this has really become like a cult favorite. I tweeted about this when I was watching it, and people were like, it's incredible. Like, it, the things that he does in this movie are just hilarious in a timeless way. So
there's no real winners here, but I guess we could give it to Redmayne.
Yeah.
Okay, these lightning round questions that we're going to do before we wrap are so hilarious and unhinged, and whoever wrote them should
They can only
them.
Be Amelia. They can only be Amelia.
No, I only wrote like two of them.
Go ahead.
Okay, I wrote one, yeah.
Okay. If you could choose any movie star besides Channing Tatum plus any type of dog and have said half movie star, half dog creature save you, a la the first time we meet Channing in this role, this really impacted me. Who and what type of dog human would you choose and why? And
incredible.
Thank you. I personally said I would want like a half Belgian Malinois because those are like the new canine dogs. Like they look like smaller German Shepherds. Yeah. So they're the ones that the like SEAL Team 6 uses.
Oh, so you chose from like wow. Fighting potential. Wow.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That is where I was thinking. I was
that
like,
is
if I right.
think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
And then also half Chris Hemsworth because I feel like he's big and he's scary looking. So,
okay.
You know.
Yeah, you really, okay. I did slightly misunderstand this prompt. Liz, why don't you go next? Because you also understood it correctly.
I chose the brother. I am doing Liam Hemsworth as like Bernie's mountain dog. I needed something large enough to like actually have an impact and have to carry me if necessary or do something. I can't, I'm not going to be carried by a petite dog. So I'm choosing, Bernie's mountain dog and Liam Hemsworth. Kate?
Love that. Okay, so I kind of thought we were supposed to pick like an actor and like their animal counterpart.
That's okay.
So I said Adam Driver mixed with the cat who looks like Adam Driver. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this,
no.
but there's a breed of cat.
You would choose a cat. That thing, if you Google, can't do anything.
Oh, if you Google Adam Driver cat, there's a breed of cat who looks like Adam Driver.
Stop. This
and
is really
where they
funny.
Have like kind of a longer nose and like big ears.
Oh and my God.
I think it would be really funny because it would just look like Adam Driver still, even if it was like part Adam Driver cat. So that was what I went with.
This is good.
Just
that
for no real
not
reason.
That's going to save you, Kate. Regardless.
It's what came to mind. But, right. You know, it'll be smarter. It'll like sneak
that's
in.
True.
You know, the aliens won't even know it's there.
True.
And then we'll sneak out. So it's fine.
Okay, true.
Great
true.
Question, Amelia.
Yeah. All right. Next one.
Which planet in our solar system, barring Earth, would you like to colonize? Or maybe, you know, because the Eddie Redmayne character owns like a refinery on the giant red spot on Jupiter. I was thinking maybe Saturn, you could mine the rings. And now when I like typed that, I was like, that makes me sound like such a...
Very Elon Musk of you.
Yeah, I hate that. But this is all hypothetical, so whatever.
Yeah, of course. I don't know very much about like the life, potential of any of these planets. Mm. So I feel like Neptune is underrated. It's very pretty. It's blue. And I just don't know anything about it. But I would like to own Neptune. I feel like of all the planets, you know, the
that's a great
Neptune
choice.
Seems like a good choice.
I didn't pick a planet. I technically chose a satellite object, but I'm picking the moon because it's safe. You guys know how I feel about space and space travel and getting there. I can't take any chances. We've already been to the moon.
Right.
Or have we?
It's true.
But we've been to the moon, history says. So I'm choosing there because someone's made it there successfully. And so that is like setting myself up
for
success.
Sure. That's
smart.
All right. Next question. Who did this one? Kate?
I think this is our classic January question.
Right.
Where does Jupiter Ascending rank in the filmography of Channing Tatum?
This is rock bottom. 100. We're going to have to rebound in a really big way for our last week of January.
Oh, no.
We're running out of options, Elizabeth. He has to have done something worse than this. But I was scrolling his IMDb page and like genuinely nothing comes to mind. Wow. Again, I think like the G.I. Joe movies are pretty bad, but like Amelia kind of rode for those on the last pod, so I could be wrong. It's been a long time since I've seen the one that I've seen.
I don't know. Action's fun. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there has to be something worse, but I couldn't think of it. Yeah. Amelia?
I mean, not my favorite movie, but I like how it tried. Like we said, I really enjoyed how it tried. And I feel like, yeah, I don't know if there is another movie. That's
Although I have to say, he's not in that much of it. So it's not like it's a Channing Tatum star vehicle and like he tanked it himself, you know? Like I feel like there are other movies that he personally is worse in, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That like are his fault that it was bad. Whereas like this is not his fault. He's just there. Like he did his best. The movie itself was bad. But yeah, I think we could probably, there's probably something worse that he specifically has done or like a worse performance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this movie is
we'll try to find it. Or if you guys have thoughts on what's the worst performance, you can DM us.
Let us know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, quickly, pick your favorite wacky alien, Kate.
A lot of just silly aliens in this movie. Everyone is like part animal, which is fun. I liked the elephant head guy like for two seconds. There's this guy like flying a ship and he just has the head of an elephant for no reason. Like human sized elephant head. And I was like, like that guy has an elephant head.
Like mini trunk. Yeah.
Yeah. So I liked him.
Okay. Amelia?
I'm just going to go with, I guess if Channing is half dog, half human counts, I'll do that.
Can't do any better than that. No.
And I am picking the dinosaur because I don't know where he came from or what his story was, but he did play a pivotal role. And then last one, whoever this is wrote Amelia. This, Amelia.
Wait, I didn't write this.
Oh, is it Kaya?
Kaya this is me. From left field.
Oh my God, plot twist.
Oh my God. Go ahead, Kaya.
Does Liz still think we need to stay out of space?
My official answer is yes. The pod that will never see the light of day.
God. Yes, the infamous take. Lost hottest take. stop going to space. So you still feel strongly that we should explore the seas instead?
Absolutely. What good happened to Mila Kunis in this movie? Almost nothing.
That's so true.
You're 100% correct. So.
Okay. Last category. Tea Time's unanswerable questions. We're going back to cats. I'm happy that Kate already had like some cat content in here. Okay. My unanswerable question is, Kate, do you think you would recognize Betsy's meow on the phone? And I ask you this because a cat named Barnaby was missing for 8 months, and he was reunited with his family after his owner recognized the meow in the background of a phone call. So this woman named Rachel Lawrence was on the phone with her vet talking about her other cat, Torvi. I don't know if that's not really necessary info, but this cat, Torvi, recently had an operation, is talking to the vet. And then in the background of this phone call, the girl hears a meow, like obviously somewhere in the vet's office. And then she was like, oh, that meow sounds really familiar. And then asked like who it came from. And the vet was like, oh, it's just this stray cat that was turned in by like some good Samaritan off the street. Mm-hmm. Then they hang up. This woman couldn't stop thinking about this meow. Called the vet back, went to the vet. Long story short, this is her missing cat from, it's been missing for like many, many months. And they're reunited as a family. And I can't believe it. So Kate, would you recognize Betsy's meow in this situation?
So short answer, no, because Betsy is very quiet and doesn't meow very often. Mm. So I think we would be fucked in this situation. I think she would just be sitting silent in the background of the call.
Pound. That's sad.
And yeah, I think she would have to go to another loving family. However, I do have to say, like, my sister's cats are very loud and also very distinctive meows. Like, if I was in a room with my eyes closed and one of them meowed and then, like, Betsy meowed and then the other one meowed, I would be like, that's this one, and that's this one. So I do think, like, if this happened to my sister, I think she probably could. Like, it's obviously is, like, you know, you have to pay attention and, like, you have to, the fact that this woman did this is crazy. But I do think cats have very distinctive meows. So
I have a cat from hell who meows all day long, and I would probably recognize and be like, oh, sorry, I can't hear that. Bye. And then hang up. But I think it's possible for pet owners. For sure.
Like one of my sister's cats like sounds like a balloon, which is totally different from like a balloon squeaking like meep, which is totally different from like how Betsy sounds. So I do think cats have very, very recognizable meows.
Poor Betsy.
But I wouldn't be able to do this, which is great. I love that she doesn't meow. But in this case, we would be in trouble.
right. That's fine. All right. Next question, Kate.
Guys, I'm finally watching Euphoria. I finally did it. Caught up with the rest of the world. Huh. And we talked about this like a year ago or more. I think more. But it's the question that the internet has been asking for years. And now that I have context, there have been a couple more tweets about it this week. So I want to talk about it. How old is Alexa Demi of Euphoria fame? Mm. There were memes about this like during the first season of Euphoria because she, long story short, has been very mysterious about her age. A lot of actresses are because it's hard for older actresses to get jobs in Hollywood. So, you know, not to be like ageist or anything, but it's an ongoing question. It's been an ongoing question because in 2019, a New York Times article said that she was 24. And that was when it all kind of started because people were like, I don't know if this is true. That would make her 26 or 27 now. But back then, fans dug up her high school yearbook photo, which would then put her at like 30 or 31 now. And they were like, this isn't true. She's lying about her age. So that was what made people invested. So then there were all these memes because all these things kept coming up. There would be pictures of her with celebrities that were popular in the early 2010s, looking like a full-grown woman, people being like, did Alexa Demi survive the Salem witch trials? Like, there was all these jokes. So recently, she did an interview on the A24 podcast, and she mentioned that she used to have a sunglasses design company. And
what?
Nicki Minaj wore Alexa Demi's sunglasses in her Massive Attack video in 2010. Okay.
What?
So people were like, how old is Alexa Demi? Like, she was a celebrity sunglasses designer in 2010. So like, how old is she? So this newly reignited all the questions. However, we do actually have an answer now. So an article about her sunglasses company mentions that she was 19, when that was happening, when they were blowing up. So obviously she was very young. Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then recently also, her birthday was finally added to IMDb. It's not on Google still. If you look up Alexa Demi age, nothing comes up, which also is part of why people are invested. But her birthday is December 11th, 1990. So she's 31, which is fine. It's significantly older than most of the other Euphoria cast. But like, we don't want real teenagers on Euphoria based on the things that happen in that show. So like, fine. She looks incredible. 31 is not old. Like, it's not like she's, you know, a corpse. Like, she looks great.
Right.
We're all around 31 on this podcast. Like, it's fine. But I guess my takeaway is just like, just tell people, you know, it didn't have to be this big thing that people were like invested in. People, again, are still making jokes about how she was alive for like the signing of the Declaration of Independence because she had like Nicki Minaj is wearing these sunglasses in 2010. People are like, oh my God, how old is she?
My favorite artifact of Alexa Demi history is a photograph of her with the Kardashians, but in their like original era, like the Keeping Up era where they're in that one house in Hidden Hill and they're like looking real original. And I'm like, Alexa Demi also looks like a full grown woman there.
Looks
but
exactly
like,
the same.
That's a piece of history that places her at a...
Right. She has like a photo with like Azealia Banks from like way back in the day. She just like has all these pictures that are like really old. It's just people have dug up and been like, this is hilarious.
This doesn't even matter, but like she looks just the same age as everyone else on the cast. So.
Exactly. So it's fine.
Send me your tips, Alexa, to me, please.
Seriously. Yeah, seriously. She looks good. Skin this question is answerable. I just had to re-up it now that I like have context for her.
Yeah.
And just let you guys know that we actually do have an official age for her now. So
excited that you're watching Euphoria, Kate. That's my biggest takeaway as we'll have to discuss. Okay. That is it. We got one more week in January.
Wow.
We don't know what we're going to do yet. Wildcard week.
We'll
see.
Also, happy early birthday to Kate Hallowell, our girl, our co-host.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, that's it. Thanks to Kaya, our producer, and thank you guys for listening. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.